You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we say hello to you on a very busy Tuesday afternoon. A lot happening, and we're going to get right to it. Thanks for being a part of the program, and let's get right to it, because there's some very interesting news to pass along. For weeks now, we've been talking about conference realignment. And Bob Bowlesby, I mean, he's just like always around, isn't he? Like you open your door on Thanksgiving and your uncle's there and you don't want to see him. He spoke yesterday about desperate times, and Max Olson reporting at this hour that Bowlesby is meeting with Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliakoff. He's brand new, to discuss the possibility of scheduling alliance, merger, or other options for their conference to strategically work together, or maybe just like pray for something good to happen to both of their leagues. We'll talk to Max a little bit later on. Anyway, we gave you the story as we were leaving yesterday, and just continued bad news and bad breaks for Miles Brennan, who had won that job and then got hurt, and now he has suffered a severe injury. This is just painful to look at. He fought so hard to become a starter, did well, and then got hurt, and got hurt again. And Max Johnson will now be the starter, according to Ed O. Happier news to pass along. A Tennessee soccer player has bailed out an aging newspaper columnist. John Adams, in the autumn of his career, opened up his column for anyone to participate. The highest bidder, $20. I wish I had known. I've got $20 worth of pennies from my from fourth grade that I would have donated to Adams. Anyway, we will talk to Adams later about the fact that a newspaper column is worth more than it used to, $20. Scott Rabelais on the news from Baton Rouge. He'll join us in a minute. Max Olson on the conference conversation. Bill Connolly always has some good numbers to pass along, and he'll do that in about an hour and a half. John Adams, not the president, but the columnist.
Even better.
John Wilner could have been a president. He's the man to talk to about the Pac-12. And is it happening? Is the Pac-12 finally sending an SOS signal? Is the embattled Big 12? Maybe we shouldn't say that on ESPN. I don't want to upset Bob Bowlesby if he's watching. Let's only hope for the best for the Big 12. Your phone call is at 855-242-7285. That is where we are as we begin the program. Let's get to some calls. And Chris starts us off from our new best friends in Oklahoma. Hello, Chris.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thank you. Great to have you.
Well, ever since this all started going down, I've started watching your show every day, because we need to know more about the SEC and what we're getting into.
Well, let me say this, Chris. You come to the right place. This is the tutorial on the SEC. This is the dummy's guide to learning more about the SEC. Right here, it's cheap entertainment, and we give you 4 hours every day.
Well, you know, both Texas and Oklahoma have really benefited from this move, and we're all for it. And I think if everybody has benefited, it might be you the most. Sure your ratings must have skyrocketed.
I don't know if this is a fact or not, but I'm pretty sure that this program outranked the Olympics last week.
Well, I watched both. But, yeah, it's great, and we'd love it. We'd love hearing your perspective. And I agree with a lot of what you're saying. You know, Oklahoma has always had a lot of respect for Alabama. And I know there's a lot of other teams, too. I think those are probably the two best coaches in college football, meaning, of course, Nick Saban and Lincoln Riley. Look at what, you know, last year was kind of just a weird year.
Yeah,
it was. But they still won the championship. And, you know, they beat Florida. Big part is how bad they beat Florida in the Cotton Bowl. But they're going to be back this year. They're strong. This college portal thing makes a huge difference. And they're doing great at getting, you know, highly valued players into Sooners, both offense and defense. And, of course, anybody who's a quarterback that wants to play for the best, it's Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley. Look at what he's done. Look at who's in the NFL.
I agree with you on that. And, you know, thanks for the call and welcome to the show. One of these days when things calm down, we'll try to figure out, you know, who's related to whom in the SEC. I think Alabama, Oklahoma have some commonalities. We're still searching for Texas's soulmate. But anyway, let's continue with phone calls here. Christopher is in Birmingham. You're on the air.
Paul, good evening. How are you doing?
We are doing great, Chris. How are you?
I appreciate you not hanging up on me this time. You hung up on me on Thursday. Did you realize that?
I remember clicking you, and I did not hear you. So when I don't hear anything, I usually do hang up.
Okay. Well, real quick, Paul, I don't know if you know this, but I've now been fired from my job for standing up for the rights of the children in Jefferson County and around the country. Because of the mask mandates and whatnot being lifted because of the paperwork
that I presented. Hold on. So you were fired from your job. Why? What was the reason given for your dismissal?
Well, my boss is a liptard, and he loves to wear his mask. And because of the national attention, I was a front page news three weekends in a row for what happened. And I got a lot of interviews. And I did one of the interviews in a conference room at a place that he rent space from, and he got upset about that and fired me with perfect attendance, Paul. I've never missed a day of work in my life. Okay. I've never been late. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So, and just for the audience that may not be familiar with you, Christopher, you're an anti-vaxxer. Is that correct?
I'm a person that believes in the Constitution, Paul, that we have our freedoms. And if you choose to vaccinate, you can. If you choose not to, you don't have to. I don't want anything to be forced upon me, Paul.
Well, I think I'm a strict constructionist as well, so I think I would agree with you on that.
Well, just real quick, Paul, and I'll be quick about this, but because of me getting fired, a GoFundMe got put together, and in 2 days they raised $41,000, and then a plane picked me up because I won't put on a mask to go to Tampa to speak, and then we got to $50,000, and the globalists shut it down, and they seized it all. You know, so again, it shows I'm over the target now, Paul, what we're doing. You know, my other company got closed down, and everything got seized. But what I wanted to bring up, Paul, is I'm so appreciative of the Auburn football coach that's standing up for the student athletes and telling them that they don't have to vaccinate, that he's not going to force them to vaccinate. But it really bothers me with Greg Sankey, and I've talked to his office yesterday evening, because they are sending text messages asking the children if they're vaccinated. And that's a HIPAA violation, Paul. And more importantly, they are trying to force these kids to be vaccinated, force them to wear masks. And if they don't,
if you allow me to jump in here for a second, I don't know why I'm asking you to allow me to jump in, but I will. I'll just be kind. That's what the SEC is doing. The SEC is trying to have a college football season that is safe and healthy, and I was there when the commissioner said what he did. And, you know, he's not telling anyone they have to do anything. He is simply saying that if you are not vaccinated, then you're going to have to go through COVID protocol.
Well, Paul, again, I've got the text messages from the students. The COVID protocol for those that are not vaccinated is discrimination. okay? They are forcing these people that are not vaccinated to do other things that they don't make the other guys do. And you know what discrimination is, right, Paul?
I don't want to debate the Constitution with you, but I don't. I think the Southeastern Conference has it within its purview to do certain requirements that, by the way, are fairly standard in this country.
Well, they're standard because nobody's standing up against them, Paul. And I'm going to stand up against them. And I got a court date in October where I was arrested at Whole Foods, and I've subpoenaed the governor, the lieutenant governor, the medical advisory board, and I'm going to get to prove in open court that, number one, there is no pandemic, and number two, that the virus has never been isolated, Paul. Did you know that?
That's the first time I've heard that. So I'll
put it on your Twitter. Go read the stories. It's been written about it. You know, Fox News won't report on.
Okay. Well, I, for some reason we lost the call. Okay, you hung up on us for the record, so don't sue us. But thanks for the call. We always appreciate happy customers. We will take a break. More to come. Perhaps not like that, but any way you would like to bring it, we will take your phone calls. Guests will start dropping by here very soon. We are off to a rather hot start.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, John is up next in Louisville. Hello, John.
Hey, let me, for the record, tell you I'm a happy customer.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's quite a call to follow up on, so I'm going to try and steer us back to football,
please.
Not conspiracies. You're welcome. And it's been entertaining with the TDS took a whole new meeting last week. It changed from Trump derangement syndrome to Texas derangement syndrome, but that's settled down too as well. I'm pleased to see that. Anyways, my compliments to your production team. You just have so many great guests and analysts, and the Gene Stallings interview was so just so wonderful. Yesterday.
I hope people appreciate Gene Stallings because you know he's certainly getting older, and he's just such a unique, authentic person, and I just love talking to him.
Well, he sounds great for 86, and it's always heartwarming to hear him repeat the story and his feelings about his son. It's just nice to hear that again. It puts everything in life in perspective. So my questions are on the meetings between the Big 12 and Pac-12, and I think you framed it nice yesterday when you talked about Big 12 being a mall that, you know, more or less lost Macy and Nordstrom and, you know, doesn't have any anchor stores anymore. What I can't understand, though, is you've got the SEC, of course, paying right now something like $44 million in media rights per team. So obviously everyone wants to get in there, or the Big Ten that pays $55 million per team. And probably that'll shoot up to 80 when they do their media rights contracts next year. Why would the Pac-12 want to take on any of the loser stores from the Big 12? I can only see one valuable acquisition. That's Big Ten acquiring you know, the big TV markets like in L.A. and San Francisco area vis-a-vis Stanford, UCLA, USC, and then up toward Oregon, Washington. What value is there, Paul, in Big 12 and Big 10, Big 12 and Pac-12 merging or aligning in any way?
Yeah, John, I mean, let's think about this. If we're two executives out there with the Pac-12, with our, let's say you're the commissioner and I'm your media consultant, and let's go by this, bit by bit. Kansas and Kansas State. I'm going to go ahead and answer before you do. No, I don't want either one of them. So then we go to Texas Christian and, Texas Christian, West Virginia. We're talking about the Pac-12 here. West Virginia does nothing, and TCU is a nice school. It's not a TV market, though, because it's not really a dominant school. And, the University of Texas and A&M are, but, TCU is on the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I would say the audience is, it's okay, but it's not dominant. Therefore, you do the same thing for Baylor. You don't have a natural TV market for them. And I'm just trying to think of, in the end, there's nobody in the Big 12 that's attractive to Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, the Arizona markets in Phoenix or in Tucson, or the Colorado or Utah markets. I don't think there's a single attractive school left in the Big 12.
Yeah, my point is the only buyer is either SEC, but I think they're going to sit on what they have, or the Big Ten, which is the richest, and we should be the buyer looking at Pac-12 teams or vis-a-vis the TV markets out there.
Yeah, I think that should be a pretty short conversation when George Kliakoff sits down with Bob Bowlesby and says, "Okay, Bob, what are you offering us?" And Bob says, well, we got a lot of we could get Washington and TCU matchups. Okay, great. That's not going to move the needle. How about Baylor and Oregon? Anybody interested in that? No. How about Kansas State and Washington State? It doesn't work.
No, I'll be interested to see what your analysts say later in the program. Great show and great production team behind the curtain there. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Great to have you on. Let's talk to Mike next in Kentucky. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Well, I guess the skinny cows from Texas are in the conference, huh?
They sure are.
I want to welcome them to the conference. I just can't wait to see the looks on their faces when Mississippi State defensive linemen that nobody's ever heard of slap them around like cat toys. Have a good day, Paul.
Yeah, I'm not sure why everybody thinks that's an automatic. I was talking to two friends of mine out in Austin today, Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles, who covered the University of Texas. And I think everyone admits Texas has had a hard time. But what makes you think they're going to continue to have a hard time now that they're moving toward the SEC, Mike? I think that's a rather rather narrow view, but it's your view, and that's fine. AJ is in Columbia, South Carolina. Hello, AJ.
Hello, Mr. Paul. I want to congratulate you on your contract. Man, we love you here.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I agree with you on that. I do want to ask you, what is your quota for this year on getting the coaches fired, and is Ed Orgeron on top of the list?
Well, I didn't realize we had a quota, but I'm glad we didn't. Last year, I remember this time when somebody suggested that somebody could get fired, most people were saying it's not going to happen. It's the pandemic. And what, four coaches got fired?
Yeah, it was crazy, man. That was a pandemic. I'm telling you right now. Hey, I think Christopher and the guy, the commissioner, they're all drinking out of the same glass, ain't they?
Yeah, I was just trying to. We don't have the time to go through all the things Christopher talked about, whether the violation of HIPAA, which was not applicable to what he was talking about, constitutionality. He was pretty much going Marbury versus Madison on us, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was afraid he's going to go postal, man. I hope not. Wow. But hey, we love your show. keep it up. And I do agree with, you know, Stalin. Yeah, I love him. I mean, man, I love you, guests. I love the way you do it. Keep it up. Appreciate it.
Thank you very, very much. Great to hear from you. Brandon is in Atlanta. You're on the air. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, Paul. How are you, sir?
We are doing great.
Hey, man, good. I'm going about 6 miles an hour down I-85 in the middle of downtown Atlanta. But now that you're on the other end of my speakers, it all's good, man.
Be careful.
Had a two-part question, if that's okay for you. I wasn't a big fan of Oklahoma-Texas thing, just due strictly to, you know, regional ties. That kind of stings. But the more I think about it, I know the SEC is the front runner, and I know this was going to happen anyway. And, of course, the SEC is going to be the first. So that's okay. You know, it is what it is. My first question is I'm a diehard. I'm from Kentucky, and I'm a diehard UK fan. And with football, you know, I follow Kentucky Sports Radio. I know you know Matt Jones. And,
sure.
You know, I've seen many posts of, you know, fans being worried, not now, but in the future of Mark Stoops possibly building Kentucky up. And the realization is him getting a better offer elsewhere. I know Florida State has been tossed around in the past because he was a defensive coordinator there. But now, you know, with the conference becoming what it is and where it's moving, I would think, I mean, unless he moves in conference, like, it would keep really good coaches like Mark Stoops. He doesn't get enough credit for what he does anyway. But I would think that would solidify him staying at UK, being that it's just getting stronger and stronger on the football side. I wanted to know your thoughts on that. And the second part of the question, I hadn't heard anybody, and maybe they have, I hadn't heard anybody bring this ordeal it up. Like, obviously, being from Kentucky and a UK fan, I'm a huge basketball fan. I think the basketball side of the SEC grows tremendously with Oklahoma and Texas coming into the picture at some point. Your thoughts on that as well, please, sir.
Yeah, Brandon, I think you're right. Oklahoma and Texas bring a lot. And, you know, baseball, how about Texas, you know, being one of the traditional baseball powers? You know, gymnastics or women's softball. I mean, with Oklahoma, Oklahoma will bring both Oklahoma and Texas have very good basketball programs. I think the SEC really didn't need them for basketball. It was so good anyway. You know, but remember, this is usually about football. And that's where the lion's share of the television rights come from. As far as Mark Stoops is concerned, I don't really see him leaving. I think he's worked too hard to build up something that is about to really hit the mother load. So, yeah, I think he's always potentially a coach somewhere else, but I would be surprised if he bailed. Let's take a break. More to come. We'll find out what's happening in Baton Rouge, where the quarterback situation has settled down, but what does it mean to the rest of the program, losing perhaps its starting quarterback? Scott Rabelais on the scene in Baton Rouge right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As we were heading out of here last night, the news broke out of Baton Rouge about Miles Brennan, another blow to his opportunity to lead this LSU Tiger team. Scott Rabelais covers the team down there, writes a column for The Advocate. Scott, great to see you last week. I had a feeling we'd be talking to you very, very soon once the dust settled elsewhere. Good afternoon, and give us the latest on what all this means to the Tigers.
Yeah, Paul, it was good to see you as well at Media Days. Miles Brennan, who's it was supposed to be a battle for the starting quarterback spot between him and Max Johnson. Miles is the senior. Max is a sophomore who started the last two games last year. Of course, Miles was coming off that abdominal muscle tear he suffered in the Missouri game week three last year, but he was fully recovered. But yesterday morning, he suffered a broken bone in his left arm. It's been reported a humerus bone in his left arm. He's undergone the surgery this morning. Don't have any reports on how that went just yet, but he was scheduled to undergo surgery this morning. And as a result, he's going to be out for an undetermined amount of time. Orgeron this morning naturally named Max Johnson the starter for the season opener against UCLA on September 4th. And Garrett Nussmeier, incoming freshman who was here in the spring, is going to be the backup. Hasn't thrown yet. So you go from this, pitched what looked like a 50-50 battle going into fall camp into got to get Max ready and try to prepare Garrett Nussmeier as much as possible to be his backup. A huge shift in the dynamic of what you expected it to be going into the camp.
Yeah, I mean, the answers are pretty self-explanatory here, Scott. But for those who don't travel in Baton Rouge waters like you do, other than losing a guy who had been the starter, give us what you know on Max Johnson and what he's capable of.
Well, Max had a lot of supporters to retain the starting job. Like I said, Miles started the first three games last year, got hurt. T.J. Finley started the next five games as a freshman, was somewhat ineffective, and Max Johnson replaced him for the Florida game and the Ole Miss game last year. T.J. Finley has since transferred to Auburn, so he's not an option either. People were wondering, I remember there was another quarterback, but he's not there anymore. Miles is more the pocket passer, not so much a kind of a statue like people might remember Zach Mettenberger was, but definitely didn't have the mobility that Max Johnson has, that run pass threat that Johnson has. So that was something in his favor. Miles had maybe a slightly stronger arm, but Max, of course, got the great pedigree. His dad was an NFL quarterback and all this stuff. So now I think, and Coach Orgeron addressed this on a radio show this morning, they like the RPO option with Max Johnson, but they might have to rein some of that in and not use as many designed running plays for Max just to keep him healthy. I mean, the object now is you got to keep him healthy, and because you don't have anyone with any experience at all else on the roster. So I think you'll still run and be mobile in the pocket, but you're not going to design a lot of plays for him. And so that might take a little dimension away from the LSU offense. They open a run under Jake Peets, who is the new offensive coordinator, having worked a year under Joe Brady with the Carolina Panthers last year.
And Scott, you mentioned that, and this is not exactly the easiest offense for people to understand. Maybe if you're Max Johnson, it is. I don't understand it, but you lose Miles Brennan, and there are a thousand different ways to answer this, but you do lose someone with a lot of experience, and health is such a critical factor toward just dealing with and enduring the gauntlet. I realize I'm asking you to speculate, and nobody wants to see anybody else hurt, but that's where this could become a big deal, right?
Well, sure. I mean, Max came in and, like I said, played well those last two games, but the offense has changed. It's a new offense now. Again, he's been schooled for a long time in being a quarterback. You know, from growing up, with his dad, in Georgia. So you got that going for him. But yeah, you can't discount the fact all the experience Miles has had. Not as a starter so much, but you know, he's been here for a long time. He was Danny Etling's backup in 2017. You know, and then Joe Burrow comes along and he beats him out for the job, and it finally looks like his time last year, and then he gets hurt, and of course LSU was 1-2 in those games he started, but you can't really blame Miles Brennan. You certainly have to blame the defense for how poorly they played. So yeah, I mean, you're definitely losing something there. You're having to hope that Max Johnson, with his training, his growing up in a quarterback household, I guess you could say, and the experience he got in those games, having to win two games too, Paul. They won those games giving up an average of 41 points a game. So he had to score. He had to lead LSU to some points in those games. So that's a plus. But and he might have won the job anyway. You know, he might have won the job anyway. But now you don't have that push there that he would have gotten at least gotten from Miles Brennan if not lost the job to him outright. I think Brennan probably would have been the starter, having said all that. But it was still going to be a close competition.
You mentioned Nussmeier. I'm sure a lot of fans are remembering his father, a pretty well-known offensive coordinator in the SEC. What do we know about him?
Well, he's another guy, I think, probably in that mold a little bit of Johnson. We saw a little bit of him in the spring practice. He looked, green. He threw some couple of interceptions and some passes that made you look like he's not quite ready. I think we're going to have to see how he can develop. They're going to want him to push, Max as much as possible. And certainly LSU has to hope in some of those early season games like Central Michigan or McNeese State or something like that, that they can get a big lead and get him some experience in there, because he just has none. But a very highly regarded prospect, a four-star quarterback like the other guys, is someone who they're very high on. But just you don't want to throw a kid in there with no experience, because we saw how some of the struggles LSU had last year were doing that with Finley and Max Johnson in those situations.
Scott Rabelais with us. Scott, we haven't had a chance to talk to you about the big news that broke in the middle of SEC Media Days 2 weeks ago. That's the addition of Texas and Oklahoma. What has been the reaction down there on the Bayou?
I think the reaction has been tempered a little bit by the fact that LSU beat Texas and Oklahoma in 2019, all the way to the national championship. They won the game in Austin, which was a thrilling game. People can remember, Joe Burrow kind of had one of those kind of Heisman moments when he threw the third and 17 touchdown pass to Jefferson, and then they beat Oklahoma in the Peach Bowl in the national semifinals. So I don't think there's a lot of fear. Texas was supposed to come here last year. That game got canceled, of course, and they canceled all the non-conference games. But I think some excitement and the hope, Paul. I don't know how this, I'm just going to share it other places. I think there's a hope at LSU that this will lead. Obviously, you got to restructure the divisions or go to 14 pods, or there's a lot of talk about how this may turn out. That the schedule can be restructured in something that LSU fans find more favorable. It's no secret that for a long time LSU has not been a fan of the current scheduling format with the permanent opponent, where they have to play Florida every year, home and home, something they've done for 50 years, and just start with divisional play in the SEC in the 90s. So, maybe get something to more like, I know at LSU they were kind of hoping for a 3-5 format where you play three permanent opponents, five home and away, then five home and away. You can do 3-6, so if the SEC goes to 9 games, I think that'd be all right. But overall, your question, I think people are pretty cool with the addition of Texas Tech, another baseball power too. That's an interesting from that perspective. And we'll see how it affects the LSU-Texas A&M game. I would imagine the Longhorns and the Aggies are going to want to play each other Thanksgiving weekend, meaning LSU might have to go back to playing Arkansas the last game of the season. I don't know. A lot is going to change, but they're hoping that maybe the schedule format can change into something that's a little less, a little more desirable from an LSU perspective.
Well, it's certainly not that far away from Baton Rouge. So unlike some of the entrants over the years, the Tiger fans don't have too far to go, at least to get to Texas. Scott, great to have you on the program. It's always fun, and look forward to talking very, very soon.
Paul, there'll always be something interesting going on at LSU. Give us a call anytime.
I have never a doubt. Thanks, Scott Rabelais. Let's hope it's on the field, although this is tough news to have to talk about. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are jam-packed today, and we'll go back to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
One more time. Sandy, you are on the air.
Yes, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm upset with the last caller, the Benjamin, I believe his name was, spouting all his political views and suing everybody in the country and going to have them pulled into court and he's going to own them or whatever.
Right.
I really have a problem when in – and I understand you're married to a doctor, so I know you have a good knowledge of things. But when people start saying it's against my HIPAA, it's a HIPAA violation, have no clue what HIPAA is. They don't have a clue what it was intended to do. It has nothing to do with anyone asking you whether or not you have had a vaccination or anything. And I love the fact that you have an open forum for anyone that wants to come on and would talk, I would say, intelligently and about sports. But we've got some bad problems in this country with false information going out and people that want to believe that and don't have a clue what they're talking about. And I would just, you know, it bothered me to listen to him on your show because I listen to sports and what's going on in that regard. And I just think right now there's too much of a microphone for these individuals that want to talk about something they don't have any information about other than they want to spout off that it's their right. We in this country have the responsibility when it's a public health issue the way it is to do what's best for everyone. And this thing of letting this shot and vaccine become politicized is wrong. And I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate what you do every day, but I just think that it just bothers me for people like this to get a forum to be able to spout more false information to individuals that are going to believe them where we're in the state we are right now.
Sandy, thank you very much. Great to have you with us. I-Man is up next. Good afternoon.
And a good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I guess I'm going to piggyback off of that. I heard that guy's call earlier. You know, everybody's got their rights, but your rights end where other people's begin. And you know, there's a lot of things you can do in this country, but that doesn't mean your employer is going to go along with it. And your employment. With what we've been through in this country the last year and a half, 2 years, you know, something about eating and taking care of my family, responsibilities, and all those kind of things are far more important than what my personal feelings are. I did not care for the shot. You know what, Paul, I got the shot. I got the shot so I could move on with my life, and I got a card that says I got 2 shots, and I'm not listening to anything else. I'm cooperating. I'm doing everything what everybody feels is the right thing, and I'm just going to follow along
with
that.
Would you mind, can we see a copy of that? We're not going to let any more callers on, I-Man.
Well, I've had the shots, but, you know, I can't imagine a grown person that acts like he's got some sense willing to put his livelihood on the line for something like that.
Yeah, you know, if you study history, I applaud those, you know, back in the Revolutionary War days or in other.
I get that.
But it's 2021, and if you want to provide, you know, disabuse your family of a livelihood because you don't believe in what the government is doing, then there's really only one solution, and that's to move somewhere else.
And you know what? It's amazing people say that all the time, and they say they're leaving, but they never damn leave, Paul. Where are these people? Why are they staying here and making things worse here when they say they can leave? And where's a better place to be? And I tell you what, I don't always agree with the government, and I did not take the shot because of the government. I took the shot because of me.
Sure.
Simply me. I can't imagine.
It's one,
it's one thing
to complain that that the media is pushing something. I mean, that's fair, but you know, he really doesn't first of all, there's very little about this he understands. I've met this guy. I'm not going to act like this guy came down to our studio many years ago about something. I don't remember specifically what it was. But I've encountered him before. I know who he is, and I applaud him for believing in whatever he believes in. He just so happens that he's wrong.
Well, and you know, guys like that, I'm with you. There's a lot of people in the history of this country did a lot of things, and I appreciate all that. But
three
I'm
more
sorry,
hours
but
ago.
I